First thing to say is that the four infinite thoughts are very, very interesting because they are one of the things that links the most ancient yoga tradition of India to the present yoga tradition of Tibet. So the four infinite thoughts, Seme Shi, are a link. They are something that ties together these two lineages. They are like footprints that show you that the lineages were once one. Because the teachings have gone strongly. This teaching on love, infinite love, has gone strongly and through 2,000 years has remained in both lineages. So the bridge between the two lineages, one of the most, if you're like a scriptural archaeologist, you would look at the text of Kyutsan Lama's machine of the body, and there the core is the four infinite thoughts, right? And then you open up page 30, and there's the Yoga Sutra, and there's the four infinite thoughts, the same thing from Master Patanjali in the greatest and oldest yoga text of all time. So you're very tightly tied into a beautiful lineage that has survived for 2,000 years, right? There are 1,700 years between Master Patanjali and Kyutsan Lama, and 300 more years up to us, you see? So you're in this beautiful lineage, and what bridges the two lineages, what ties them together, is this teaching of love. See, it's not Pashimodhasana, you know, it's love. It's the teaching on love, you see? And this is the prayer of love. We do two prayers during the asana stage, right? One is the prayer of what? Protection. One is the prayer of love. So we thought we'd do love first, because that's really the theme. That's really the core. So I'm going to just talk to you about the context in which the Yoga Sutra presents the four infinite thoughts. How does the four infinite thoughts happen in the Yoga Sutra? Why does Master Patanjali talk about the four infinite thoughts in the Yoga Sutra? And what I did was I put the whole context. So instead of just giving you the one verse on the four infinite thoughts, we went backwards a little bit. The context here is the obstacles that will occur in your practice. The Dhammakaya Sutra is the source of this teaching on obstacles. Whenever you start something important, whenever you have awoken from your lifetime sleep of eating, working, pooping, vacation, and dying, you know, anytime you stick your head up a little bit out of this cycle of nothing, then the demons are attracted, you know? Oh, somebody stuck their head up. You know, they don't care if you just eat, poop, and die. You're just following their program. They'll leave you alone. There won't be any problem. But you stick your head up a little. You struggle to do something good, you know. You struggle to do something high. You struggle to overcome death itself. And they're like attracted immediately. So these are obstacles, right? And they will come to you. There's a joke in Tibet, if you don't get any obstacles, you're like, maybe not doing so well. You know? Like, you'll get very scared by Garamagami. Or you'll have a big fire with your closest friend. Or suddenly you won't have any money to get to Tucson. Or stuff like that. Things will happen. You know? Your boss will say if you leave, you're going to get fired. You know? Suddenly, after agreeing for 6 months, you know? And these are, he lists the obstacles. Illness, fogginess in the mind, doubts on the work, you know, maybe this thing doesn't work too good after all. Maybe I really should be doing, I don't know, bingo, whatever else, bowling, you know, maybe yoga's not so good. Carelessness means not watching your mind in the day, like slipping, like yelling at somebody. Or, you know, not keeping aware of where your mind is headed during the day. And then laziness is, I don't feel like doing yoga today. You know, you should do it every day and you fight with your mind. Maybe, let's say, David Lyon and Sharon. Sharon once told me, after 25 years, you know, the hardest thing is still to get out and do your practice, you know? Still, after all those years and being the most famous yogis in America, you know, and still, you're like, look at your mat, and like, you know, maybe I don't feel so good today, you know what I mean? Or there's always some excuse, right? And what makes your yoga practice great, what separates you from a normal yogi, is only the times you do it when you don't feel well, or the floor is not so good, or the room's very hot or cold, or you really are busy today and you really don't have time. It's doing it then that separates you, right? Then he lists on the next page more obstacles, which are like prana obstacles. Your hands start shaking, mind is distracted, you get low vayu condition, prana vayu condition in your heart, you start getting tight, tense, irritable, like that. Then he says, on page 32, so he's introduced all these obstacles, then he says, if you wish to stop these obstacles, there is one and only one crucial practice for doing so. And then he goes into the four different thoughts, you see? So just the practice of love, just the practice of wishing love on people is enough to stop all your obstacles. Illness, uncooperative bosses, trouble with your friends, you know, not wanting to do your practice. If you do the four infinite thoughts, all those obstacles go away. It's the one and only one crucial practice. Then after that, he lists some benefits, okay? Page 34. He lists more after this, but these are the big three, okay, that are on your home, okay? It makes your mind bright and clear as pure water. I mean, you feel happy. You just feel clear. Your mind is clear. Sharp, clear, awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like that, clear. And he says, secondly, it gives the same effect as pranayama or other methods of controlling the inner winds. So you can control the inner winds by doing an hour and a half of yoga. Or you could control them by doing infinite thoughts for 10 minutes in a minute. So which should you do? Both. Why? Because sometimes you can't do it in the meditation, and sometimes you really can't do it in the yoga. And they both work together. It's more powerful. So don't get caught in this diamond dealer trap.
Do both of them. Okay.
Then it says, lastly, it helps the tendency we have of thoughts arising about outer objects of experience. This is on two levels. One is like, if you're always thinking about breakfast during your meditation or a cup of sweet juice, then you're distracted, then your mind is distracted. You can't concentrate, okay? Your mind pops out of meditation. Secondly, you misunderstand objects of perception. You misunderstand, right? Oh, they put it up here. I'll take it myself. Right? Not realizing that the reason I got the juice is that I gave one to somebody else in the past. Right? That's ignorance about juice. So the natural reaction for intelligent people, what His Holiness calls, maybe he'll talk about it this weekend. What's it called?
Enlightened
self-interest. The best way to get more juice is to give this one away to someone, right? Or pass it around. Yeah? Like spread it among a bunch of yogis, right? Then you're putting stuff in the bank and the interest will keep coming, right? So if you do the infinite four thoughts, you start to see the world this way and you act in an enlightened way. You're constantly giving stuff away. Every time you get something, you're like, hot potato. No. Give it away, give it away. And then just more stuff comes to you. Okay? This is enlightenment. This is the benefit of the fourth mental health. So all of these are meant to develop a love for other people, which is really the guts of the echo effect also. If you want good things to happen to you, you have to be good to other people. That's the thing, right? Echoes back to you. And you know, there's people in this group I've known for 10 years now, maybe almost 15 years, and I watch people, you know. I just got back from 4 months travel. And the people who have consistently watched out for other people's needs They're not so focused on themselves. They are constantly thinking about what other people need. Those people just keep inching higher and higher. Every time I see them after 4 months, they're like a little bit happier. Things are happening in their life, you know? Things are going well. You know, they're just constantly inching up in their level of happiness because they're focused on other people. And then the people who seem to be focused on themselves a lot, they seem to have hard times and worse times and, you know, a little bit grumpier each time I meet them. And, you know, this is the key. It all comes back to whatever you have to take care of other people. Then what you want will come like automatically. It's no problem. They say in Tibet, you get weeds when you plant corn. You know, you don't have to plant the weeds. They'll come. You know, what you want will come. Just concentrate on other people, okay? So there are four steps within each of the four infinite thoughts, okay? There are four steps within each of the four infinite thoughts. My lineage, the Kalupa lineage, you'll meet the head, future head, Friday. We like lists and outlines and, you know, so we got 16 permutations here. You could debate that for a week, you know. But I'll simplify it, okay? It's a... Sanjitanti Devanandami, 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 Sanjitanti Devanandami, Devanandami, Tovar Shol. Again, it's like a mantra in the monastery. You start it when you're 5 years old. Sanjitanti Devanandami, Devanandami, Tovagyoshi, Dakjal, Namatai, Jikinatasu, means like this. Devanandami, may the first level of each of the four is, I wish it could happen. How cool it would be. You see? If everybody was happy, how nice it would be. Chimamuni, that would be, wow, wouldn't that be nice? Everybody on the planet, you know, you're the sun, you're looking out at this planet, it's just a blue speck in a black sky. And you're like, everybody on that planet should be happy. Everybody. That would be so nice. Okay? Got it? That's number one. We call it the wish. Denpa, Kyoro means, it's gotta be. It's gotta be. So that turns more into like action. You know, we gotta get it done.
Resolution, right? First is wish. Second is resolution. It's gotta be. No choice. No, it's gotta be. Denpa, Kyoro. Okay. Then Ducky Jaw, Ducky Jaw. I'll get it done myself. Hatsang Nanda, what we call ultimate responsibility. Nobody helps me? Fine. People criticize me? Fine. I'm broke all the time? Fine. You know? Like, I'm going to goddamn get it done. You know? If no one else cares about me, it's like John Brady's input problem, you know? Like, why are you bothering about these old books? He's like, we're getting it done. I'm doing it. I don't care if nobody helps. You know, he's like out there. It's like, really? He was. He was trying to find more books, you know. And he's still here, you know. And, you know, he's like, I'm doing it. So, well, how many we got? I wish it's gotta be. I'm getting it done. You know? Okay? Then the last one is like, man, but we need some help here. We need some heavy-duty help here. Lana Lei Jini Lakta Suomis. I asked my teacher, my spiritual teacher, my angel, give us some help here, you know. We're going to do it. I'm going to do it myself, but it'd be really cool if you could like, help me out, you know. So it's like that last one is very beautiful. It's like, if you follow Guruji, if you follow Lady Ruth, if you follow, whoever you follow, this is not David Chan. Like, you know, you're opening up your yoga studio, and there's this pile of bills that you've got thrust under the door, and you know, all the teachers are quitting, and you know, the floor has got a big hole in it, and you're like, you just sit down and you say, okay, David, okay, help me out here.
You know,
and you pray to them.
It's not like they come on the next plane or something like that. They might, but like you pray and you say, give me some spiritual help here. And then it comes. Okay? The more you believe, the more it comes. Okay? So whoever you follow, whoever your teaching is, you ask them, help me out. That's it. So you can do that with Jesus before. So now you have the 16, right? Like, everybody should be happy.
It would be really nice. Let's do it. I'll do it. Help me.
How nice would it be if nobody had any pain? Let's get it going. I'll take care of it myself. Give me some help. Okay? My God, okay?
Number three, everyone should have. How nice would it be if everyone didn't have to die? Ultimate happiness. Let's get it done. I'll do it myself if I have to.
But let's help me out here.
That's number two. And number four is how nice it would be if people, in their attempt to be good to people, weren't prejudiced. You see? People come up to me and say, oh, this lady's so nice. Why? You should see how nice she takes care of her kids. That's great. How does she take care of the kids next door? No, she doesn't. She's busy. Then I say, that's not love, that's prejudice. You see? You see, it's one world. It's just one world. The more you learn about languages, the more they're all the same. You know, they're really all the same. They all come from the same place. And people, slight differences in color, slight differences in height or stomach, that's all. It's one world. It's ridiculous nowadays to pretend that there's different countries. You know, with the net and the web and everything, it's ridiculous. You know, you can be online with somebody in New Orleans while their house is being crushed. I was online with a girl who was in the Israeli army while the gas missiles were coming down on her. I was in Mysore, India. Her mom was in the penthouse in New York, and she was having missiles coming down. We were on a, we were on a conference call. It's just the world. You can't pretend that it's not your problem anymore. It's one world, you know. You have to take care of everyone. You have to take care of everyone. See? There's no difference anymore. See? So you're going to do this meditation, and you're like the sun. The sun doesn't say, I'm only going to shine a Tucson today, you know, or I'm not going to worry about Africa today. The sun has to shine on the whole planet, right? So this kind of love and our activities have to be global, everywhere. You know, what we do, this yoga, if it's yoga or whatever we're trying to teach people,
forget countries, you know, forget age or any money, or it's just all one planet now. And you have to take responsibility to help everybody. And this is a very effective way to help people. And so you should be like wandering around like John Brady or Kimberly. They don't really have a home. It's one planet today. And they're just serving the planet. Maybe you get to more planets. Okay. That's why these are infinite thoughts. Okay? Many planets. Once you get into the mode of one planet, taking care of one planet, then you'll be taking care of more than one.